be eternally grateful, to have a renewed sense of faith in what it means to be a young adult, an empowered young adult with the Holy Spirit, and be able to also share that with the world afterwards.
Excitement, joy, and anticipation leading up to the massive gathering that is World Youth Day. To help young Catholics encounter Christ, we speak to the pilgrims setting out for Lisbon.
Religion just doesn't really, seem to be that big of a deal.
Keeping the faith in our ever-secularizing society, we ask Generation Z what keeps them away from church. And we talk to experts about setting up successful evangelizing youth ministries.
I think it's an awesome program. The teens are able to experience community. They see other teens living faith. They see adults living faith. And it's all aspects of faith.
Rolling up their sleeves to live out the faith, the long-running program that offers teens the unique experience of ministry in action. EWTN News In Depth starts now.
I'm just really excited to take this trip as a pilgrimage and really give of myself and just hope to encounter God in a special way, ignite my faith, being surrounded by so many young, faithful people.
The countdown is on to the biggest event for young Catholics on the planet. World Youth Day. Pilgrims from around the globe will flood the city of Lisbon, Portugal, to pray, worship, and celebrate their Catholic faith. More than 28,000 young Americans and 60 bishops from the United States are traveling to the event. In honor of this massive gathering in Portugal, we bring you a special broadcast of EWTN News In Depth, focused on Catholic youth. We will look at the particular challenges teens and young adults face, the ministries aimed at guiding their Catholic formation, and the light they bring to the body of the Church. World Youth Day has a rather young history. It was created by Pope John Paul II in December of 1985 after two successful gatherings with youth on Palm Sunday in Rome and in 1984 and 1985. Since then, an international gathering is held every 2 or 3 years, including in Buenos Aires, Argentina, Denver, Colorado in the U.S., Toronto, Canada, Sydney, Australia, and Krakow, Poland. It's an opportunity not only to celebrate the faith, but also for the Holy Father to bring the Church together to celebrate the different ways we are Church around the world. That is footage from the most recent World Youth Day in 2019 in Panama City. The crowds came with their national flags representing their cultures and traditions, all celebrating our one universal Church. While the themes of each World Youth Day vary, at the heart, they're very much the same: encountering Christ. Colin Flynn has been on the ground in Lisbon along with multiple EWTN teams to cover this upcoming event. He shares the preparations that have been underway for months and the excitement for those participating in World Youth Day 2023.
The city of Lisbon in Portugal is getting ready to welcome Pope Francis and possibly over a million young people from across the globe. World Youth Day will be one of the biggest events that this city has ever seen.
So far, more than 600,000 young people have registered to travel to the centuries-old Portuguese capital for World Youth Day. The event is the largest gathering of young Catholics on the planet and takes place in a different city every 3 years. This year, it all happens from August the 2nd to the 6th, and in the World Youth Day headquarters, the team have been preparing for months. These young volunteers have been answering thousands of queries, questions about accommodation, travel, visas, and so on.
We have different topics, so different also continents. We are distributed by different continents and also movements, congregations. This team are for the visa There are big groups here, so they have lots of problems and logistics, so we have to deal it with...
A lot of emails.
Yeah,
a lot of questions to answer.
Yeah.
For everyone, this is our main goal, to answer the Pope's appeal to have at least one pilgrim from all the countries of the world.
Overseeing the entire operation is Bishop Americo Aguirre, who Pope Francis just announced will be made a cardinal in September. He is responsible for the tone and theme of this massive event.
When you think of how close World Youth Day is, it's like a defibrillator. You feel a shock at the heart when you think of how many days are left. But we are really looking forward to welcoming young people from all over the world for a meeting with Pope Francis. But above all, we are excited about them meeting with the living Christ. That is why we are very much looking forward to the arrival of the big day.
In your meetings with Pope Francis, what has he expressed to you for his vision and hope and desire for World Youth Day here in Lisbon?
Since the last World Youth Day, the world has lived through a pandemic, through an economic crisis, through a war, and so on. So the Pope really longs for people to experience the culture of encounter. It's important for us to encourage young people to be there for each other, to care for each other, to love each other, to be better people.
In previous World Youth Days, millions of people have attended, like in 2013 when 3.7 million people descended on the city of Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, or 3.5 million in Krakow in Poland. The number in Lisbon is expected to be smaller for several reasons, including post-pandemic related concerns, the cost, and fewer young people practicing faith in general. Carlos Moedas is the mayor of Lisbon, and his office is overseeing the logistics and resources for the event.
This event will be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for Lisbon to be the center of the world for 6 days. So the point here is that, you know, there's other popes that came before to Lisbon, but this is the Pope with 1.5 million kids, 1.5 million people, thinking about what do you want your future to be.
The city of Lisbon has a population of about 500,000 residents, so there have been some concerns about how it can accommodate the huge influx of young pilgrims.
I know that I've spoke to a lot of young people around the world who really want to come to Lisbon for the event, but are finding it difficult to find accommodation, or the accommodation that they see on Airbnb or in hotels, the prices are astronomical and they're worried that they might not be able to afford it.
My advice would be come, we'll find you a solution. I mean, there's a lot of families that are opening their places. We are opening schools, places that people can sleep and stay. We'll find ways for you to sleep in town. I hope not in the street.
Not in the street.
But we'll take care of that, and then we will find ways.
If you're worried, put trust in the Holy Spirit and in the mayor. Everything will be fine.
But with a lot of work.
The cost of hosting World Youth Day is estimated to be more than 155 million euro, approximately 36 million of which will be given by the Portuguese state. The staging area for the Pope's final mass was originally priced at 5.6 million, which was then revised down to 2.9 million.
So basically we made different choices. Before it was going to be taller, like higher, the structure, and we had to bring it down a bit so that the cost will go down as well.
The huge cost involved in hosting the event is something that has come under severe scrutiny.
What about some of the backlash from people? I know here in the media there was some controversy around, for example, the price of the stage at over 2 million euros and the overall cost of hosting the event. Some people were wondering here in Portugal, is it worth it? What do you say to people who have those concerns?
Everything costs a lot of money. The stage, the logistics, everything. The cost is significant, but we are working at a reduced cost. But this is something that the Portuguese state believes in, and the church believes in, and the Holy See believes in. This is an investment that will have a return, and of course, not just an economic return, but more importantly, a spiritual return in terms of changing the lives of these young people. But in terms of criticisms, we have to accept them with humility, correct what is wrong, and move forward.
But regardless of the cost and huge logistical challenge this will be to Portugal, young Portuguese Catholics are hoping it will be a special opportunity for their country to help other young Catholics grow in their faith.
Deep down, we are so excited to have Catholics from all over the place and non-Catholics in our country.
If you leave Portugal knowing truly in yourself that Christ is my King, Christ is King of Kings, you have your life done.
Your family and your neighbors will see Christ in your face, and will be obvious, and you'll be this instrument to get the gospel across.
Well, we have to remember the basic things. Christ said, if you want to follow me, pick your cross and follow me. So follow him. If he says go to Portugal, then come to Portugal. It's not that hard.
Yeah, and it's not that big of a cross, no.
It is, yeah.
It's not that big.
And for Bishop Americo, he is confident that World Youth Day will be a transformative experience for young people, no matter where they come from.
It doesn't matter if I'm black or white, from the north or from the south. If we have different sensitivities, if we like different sports, different politics, I'm left, I'm right. No. We must recognize this as wealth. And knowing this as a wealth, we're going to build a world that is different. And the journey in Lisbon can help do just that, a chance to build a new future. This could be the profound result of World Youth Day here in Lisbon.
Profunda da Jornada Mundial da Juventude de Lisboa.
Logistically, this is going to be a huge challenge for the city, but it's also a great opportunity for the Catholic Church in Portugal and the Universal Church to really encourage and support young people in their faith. In Lisbon, Portugal, Colm Flynn, EWTN News in Depth.
No doubt the excitement has been building in the air in Lisbon, but also in the homes of all those who will attend. Catholics from around the world have been saving up and raising money for their travel and expenses. Rizal Reyes shares the journey before the pilgrimage of some Americans headed to Lisbon.
When young people come together, the world, it turns over.
Father Joe Goldsmith had a vision to create a ministry for young adults, take them on missions, and provide them with an immersive travel experience.
What if I took a trip once or twice a year and I invited those young adults to come together, and then we're going to experience the Lord out there and make a connection, and they're going to make friendships and beautiful things can happen.
That's how Blue Eagle Ministries was formed. Father Joe, along with 16 young adults and parish leaders from the Diocese of Richmond, Virginia, will be traveling to Lisbon for World Youth Day. One of those young adults is Victor Aguilar, who volunteers as a catechist at his parish.
I feel like God was calling me to this trip as well, to be like the echo to his word over there, like taking me to Portugal, like meeting all these youth that's going to this World Youth Day, and just interacting with them, like trying to like strengthen both our bonds with Christ.
Blue Eagle Ministries consists of mostly young Hispanic Catholics living in the Richmond area. In preparation for World Youth Day, they have been meeting every month with Father Joe as their spiritual director. Jimena Carrion joined the group in hopes of starting a youth ministry at her parish in Roanoke.
That's something that I really, really have been advocating for the youth. My hope is to learn more about God, to be able to bring back what I learn and what I've done to the people in my community and in my parish.
For Elizabeth Correa, the excitement is in feeling a renewed sense of faith.
Myself, just being a little vulnerable here, but myself, I struggle with mental health. And I know that is of a big impact in today's age.
Correa says she has always relied on her faith to keep her going. She reminds herself,
we've all been created for a specific purpose, and it's beautiful and it's good. And not to forget that. Not to forget that there is truth out there, which is, you know, it comes from God.
We're Kevin and Melissa McCartney.
From Egypt to Greece to Canada, this couple has traveled 27 countries together. Next on their itinerary, World Youth Day in Lisbon.
We've had so much growth over the last 10 years in our adventures, but we've never done something like this together, a pilgrimage together.
Kevin and Melissa log all their travels in their blog called Million Mile Marriage. It all started several years ago.
We had been married for a few years, living out in Denver, and after we bought our first house, we thought we would have some children by then, and it hasn't worked out the way that we planned it. We booked our first trip to England in 2017 and found that we were really great travel companions and that we really thrived.
Now they're preparing for their most spiritual travel yet. The couple will be traveling with their parish's youth ministry.
How cool is it going to be when everyone around us, speaking all these different languages, waving these different flags, we're all here to encounter Christ in the Eucharist together.
Meet Father Nelson Sintra, a newly ordained priest in the Diocese of Boise, Idaho. He attended his first World Youth Day in Madrid in 2011, and since then his life changed forever. Attending the event put him on the path to priesthood.
Had been raised in a Catholic family. I'd received the sacraments growing up. I'd gone to a Catholic school as a child. But I didn't really know the Lord, and I hadn't really made the faith my own.
Father Sintra says he started making his way back to the church after graduating from college. While he was going through his faith journey, his older sister bought him a ticket to attend World Youth Day. That's where his faith was reignited.
So I stepped away from the group and got on my knees in the middle of that storm and said that prayer, Lord, I give you my life. My life is yours. Please do with it as you'd like.
Since then, he attended another World Youth Day in Rio de Janeiro in 2013. The following year, he entered seminary. This year, he will be returning once again, but this time as a priest. Father Sintra tells us what he looks forward to.
Hopefully a deeper encounter with the Lord and with his love and his mercy for me personally. And also, hopefully he'll be able to use me as an instrument to be that for others.
He sends a message to the youth of the church.
My advice to all of you is to give your life to Christ, to give your whole life to Christ, to hold nothing back.
Rosal Regis, EWTN News in Depth.
Each pilgrimage is unique, and nobody knows that better than Father Bjorn Lundberg, who has been part of six different World Youth Days. He joins us now to discuss the experiences of these great events and what's needed now for youth in the church. Father Bjorn, thank you so much for joining us. Pope Francis just this weekend celebrated World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly, a feast that we've been featuring. And at the end of Mass, there was a ceremony where five seniors from five continents handed over pilgrim crosses to five young people leaving for World Youth Day in Lisbon. It was all to symbolize the transmission of faith from age to age. What do you think about the significance of that?
I think it's great because the Holy Father understands that the modern world is really kind of fractured, and people often don't grow up in communities. Their families are all over because of work or circumstances. And having your grandparents around, having the elderly to mentor you and to give you wisdom and perspective and life experience is great. And so it's just kind of this continuity that these kids are setting out on their journey of life, journey of faith, and to be connected with those who are living their faith and have all that life experience is excellent and can help remind people that family and the elderly are really important and to keep building community and not be so isolated.
Is that in any way different from past years?
I think it is. This is the first time the Holy Father presided over the Mass since this began officially in 2021. And they've been different ways that the ceremonies for World Youth Day have begun, whether it was almost like the Olympics where they would have some kind of a cross being carried or a beginning of a process like of this pilgrimage, meeting up all the young people and the Holy Father. But then now to include the grandparents and the elderly is another way of kind of spanning and connecting the generations. I think it's another dimension of what the Holy Father wants to do.
That's great. Well, many say that the future of the church are the younger generations, but I've heard some people say that they are present and should be treated as such. What do you think the needs of youth ministry are today?
It's interesting because all the outreach that we do, you know, our diocese in Arlington and all over the country, all over the world, are often working a lot with young people. And I think it's important to consider two things. One, the services that we provide to try to reach people where they're at and meet kids where they're at are important. We do a lot in our parish. But then also, it can't be a substitute for the role of the family. I think the Holy Father understands, you know, that if you will, the merry-go-round of life doesn't stop. We can't stop and fix all the problems in the culture. We just have to kind of try to address them in different ways. So we want to include the elderly. We want to include, you know, the reconnecting of families and different generations. But then also to realizing you don't wait till later to reach the youth. All the data, all the research shows that kids start making decisions about believing God around fourth grade, and then around middle school is when they tend to decide if they really want to invest and be Catholic. So while it's important that we pump a lot of resources and time into youth ministry, it's an ongoing thing. You know, in the context of family, our parishes, our schools, our religious ed programs, you want to be creative and find new ways to engage them that they're there, because if you wait till later, they're going to be gone.
That's right. Well, 6 World Youth Days, including Denver, Toronto, Cologne, Sydney, Madrid, and Krakow. You shared some pictures with us of your time in Krakow. How were they alike and how were they different?
They're alike in that you should be in therapy after 6 World Youth Days. You're traveling around the world and you're sleeping on the floor with 10,000 pilgrims in a big gym or something. And it's you know, like kind of barrack style. It's very penitential, but it's amazing. I mean, first, as a high school graduate going off to college, it was amazing to get a sense of the universal church. And so I think for the kids coming for the first time who may not know what to expect, it's amazing to see the universality of the church. And then to see young people your age from everywhere, you don't feel like you're isolated. It's just your youth group or your family or your school. And then seeing the world and the music and the prayer and the food. I mean, sometimes the food's a mixed bag, but there's an aspect of it that's obviously penitential. Whether you're an adult as a chaperone or you're a kid, you know, you think, oh, I'm going to go stay in a hotel and I'm going to have this like vacation. Well, it's not a vacation. And then, you know, you're encountering our Lord in sacraments and confession. I remember in Madrid, one of the beautiful moments was you have, you know, a million kids at a vigil at an airstrip outside of Madrid. And they're playing and they're singing and they're doing hacky sack. I mean, it's loud. And then we're having this vigil service and it's kind of calming down a bit, but you got a lot of kids out there. And then they announced in multiple languages that the Blessed Sacrament was going to come out onto the altar of that kind of worship space with the Pope. And within a matter of minutes, that whole place was silent. I wouldn't say you could hear a pin drop, but 500,000 or 1 million young people were quiet in prayer. Clearly the Holy Spirit was working. So it's exciting. Every year they get better, they get smoother, they get more organized. I think it's fascinating both for the kids who go, they don't know what to expect, but the local towns or cities or countries, I don't think know what to expect either. They don't expect that an elderly Pope in his 80s is going to bring, you know, hundreds of thousands of kids and that it's going to be joyful. They think, well, maybe they're going to pray. Is this going to be really rigid? But instead, you know, it's a joyful encounter. And so you definitely have your chances to offer some sacrifices, but you start getting comfortable and kind of getting in your zone. So here we go. It's going to be great.
That's wonderful. Well, really quick, what's it like celebrating Mass there for you?
Oh, celebrating Mass, like when you get to can celebrate with the Pope and with your brother priest from your diocese and stuff, is amazing. Again, the sense of the universal church that our Lord is working. Because when I first went to World Youth Day, I didn't want to be a priest and I was fighting my vocation. And then both as a seminarian and then as a pre-chaperone, you get to kind of see the full cycle, how our Lord is at work, that he's calling all these kids and all the adults. And you just get a sense that united in the Eucharist and the Sacred Heart, that Jesus is working and we just can trust his plan. And also, you know, through him to know the Father and the Holy Spirit.
Well, thank you so much for this. We'll be praying for you.
Thank you so much.
Follow our social media, EWTN News in Depth, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube for pictures, videos, interviews, and more directly from World Youth Day in Lisbon. And we also encourage you to go to EWTN.com/WYD, our World Youth Day home, for all content related to the event, including live network coverage of this wonderful moment in the life of the church.
Just an amazing, amazing experience for the teens and for the adults. We love it. faith, and good works. Hundreds of young Catholics share their talents and time to lend a helping hand. That story still ahead. But first,
probably some of the biggest barriers are just like moral commitment to an ideology.
Understanding why younger generations are leaving the church or don't consider any religion to be relevant, and why parents should keep praying and have hope for their children.
I'm not fully practicing my faith as I am trying to fit in society.
Religion and society. Catholic beliefs are often countercultural, and with growing secularism, Catholicism at face value may not seem appealing to some. But Catholic Church teaching coming from divine revelation rooted in scripture and tradition is not antiquated. It is relevant for all aspects of our lives, and a countercultural revolution of mercy and grace. Mark Irons hears from some within younger generations who question the faith.
Mostly because I don't buy the doctrine entirely.
There can be many reasons teens or young adults aren't focused on religion, even after growing up Christian.
And that's not to, like, disrespect anyone who does buy and who does believe. But it just wasn't convincing to me.
Some feel practicing faith in Christ is a barrier to acceptance within the world around them.
I feel like it's even harder in, like, college, trying to fit in and, like, practicing religion as well.
Others might say it's a thing of the past.
The 21st century is a lot more like science and a lot more, like, religion doesn't really have that big of a hold like it used to.
And while some may find religion irrelevant or hard to follow in the modern day, others may actually be seeking God and looking for true fulfillment just in all the wrong places. In John's Gospel, Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." A great Catholic theologian and philosopher, St. Thomas Aquinas, said there are four typical substitutes for God: wealth, pleasure, power, and honor.
I do think that one of the biggest reasons why people are not choosing the faith is because they find all these, like, substitutes for God.
Gian Gonzalez has witnessed this in the lives of the college students he's ministered to. And many young people can find substitutes or barriers to faith right at their fingertips.
You're scrolling and being inundated by, like, a storm of different temptations and especially like in your teen years in college.
Gonzalez will soon enter the seminary and begin studying for the priesthood. But over the last few years, he's worked for Focus. The Catholic organization sends missionaries across the nation bringing Christ to college campuses. Their evangelization efforts are focused at a critical juncture. According to data from the Pew Research Center, among Catholics who have left the faith, most leave before the age of 24. So how does the church bring them back? Whether young adults grew up Catholic or not, more research suggests they are increasingly less likely to affiliate with religion. For Focus missionaries, Catholic evangelization involves forming authentic friendships, and winning souls for Christ through the church requires love and not just convincing someone of the truth.
When you're doing the truth approach, it suddenly begins like this like battle of like apologetics, and you're actually just trying to win an argument versus like, I'm just here to win a soul. You know, I'm trying to be their friend. Like, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
A similar message from a mother.
To love, to just love our children, to continue to gather them, to continue to invite them.
Roxanne Solonen is the co-author of What Would Monica Do? A book providing hope to parents whose children have left the faith. Solonen knows the feeling firsthand, and she encourages parents to keep praying and fasting for their children while trusting in God's plan.
We just have to be patient and know that it's God's timeline, not ours, and that is really hard. But guess what? We're not in control, and they're God's children before they're ours anyway.
Her book reflects on the spiritual wisdom of Saint Monica, who constantly prayed for her son, Augustine. He had rejected faith and pursued a life of pleasure, but then had a powerful conversion to Catholicism, became an influential leader in the church, and is now recognized as a great saint. Reflecting on his experiences, St. Augustine said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." A timeless truth, but one young people may not fully believe, especially if parents never passed on the faith to begin with. According to a Pew Research Center survey published earlier this year, only 35% of parents say it's extremely or very important that their children share their religious beliefs. A sign of hope shines bright at World Youth Day, when every few years young Catholics from all over the world gather to celebrate their faith. But ministering to them, and especially those who have left faith, is an ongoing mission. After Pope St. John Paul II created World Youth Day, he said that the whole church must be more committed to young people, to hearing their anxieties and concerns while providing the truth and love that is Christ.
And it takes like a very one-on-one listening approach to be able to care for that person individually.
And it demands a spirit of faith and hope.
We have to be ready for when our children come back and thank God in advance for blessing them and for bringing them home. I think we have to have an attitude of gratitude and trusting that God is going to bring them home.
Mark Irons, EWTN News in depth.
Young or old, we all face challenges in our lives. Psychologist Greg Bataro of the Catholic Psych Institute joins us now to share insights on the role our faith can play in our mental health. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Bataro. This is the first World Youth Day since the pandemic. We know a lot of people, including children, suffered from isolation. Can you talk about the impact that had?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're made for relationship and for connection, made in God's image. We're made out of that divine image of Trinitarian love, and we need to connect with other people. And so the last few years have been really hard in that area. And people have been suffering because of it. Depression, anxiety, addictions are on the rise. People are seeking new ways to connect, sometimes not in such healthy ways. And so we're really at a place in history when we need to reconnect with each other.
And what would you say are some of the biggest challenges that you're seeing? And how does faith change the way that you guide people or help to promote treating them?
Sure. I mean, the biggest way is that the low-hanging fruit, easy access way for young kids and old to try to connect with each other through the internet, through social media, through online, different ways of engaging. And so people don't realize how many addictive factors are built into those technologies and end up getting addicted very quickly to the scroll, to the checkups, the updates, the feeds, all these things. And so people are now obsessed and absorbed more than ever before, as if that could have really happened. It's happened. There's even more addiction showing up now. So the faith gives us a blueprint to understand our humanity, how we're made, what we're made for. And if we follow the blueprint that God gave us, we will discover, as I said before, we're made for real connection. So there's something in that seeking that is good when people are reaching out, trying to connect with others. We just have to help as adults redirect where the youth are looking for those kinds of connections. And so we can get together in real relationship, in real time, in real community, and actually share with one another.
Now, would you say with all of that assessment that World Youth Day is more important than ever before?
Yes, 100%. I am so excited for all the groups, all the kids going out there right now. World Youth Day was one of the sparks of my own conversion back in 1997 when I was in Paris. And it's such a beautiful place to encounter diverse cultures and different ways of expressions of the faith. And then people really actually being together, sometimes in difficult circumstances. It can be really hot or travel can be difficult. But when people come together with such joy and such peace and such common purpose, then you see the real beauty of humanity shining forth.
Now, that's obviously very important, but let's go back to what you were saying about the approach to psychology. How does having that Catholic lens change how you approach the human person?
Well, it's the only right way to approach the human person. Psychology for the last 150 years has been an endeavor that is spent shooting arrows in the dark at targets that are theoretical or hypothetical. And instead of having any real basis or grounding in a framework of a blueprint of how the human person is created, then the science becomes aimless. But when we have the revelation of Jesus Christ, he teaches us who we are. It is as Christ reveals man to himself and makes his divine calling clear. And when we follow that lead, then we can make sense of the sciences. We can ground them, and it gives us real purpose and intention in what we're doing in that full perspective of the human person.
Now, we are all about practical advice here on EWTN News in Depth. What's your advice to parents who see their children struggling mentally?
Well, the first thing we tell every parent is you have to start with yourself and look at how you can become a better model and example, and also experience more deeply the peace of God. We're all called to have peace. He offers it to us and promises it to us. So we can't give what we don't have. And if we can learn how to have more peace in our own hearts through our faith, then we're in much better position to share that with our children. From there, then we spend time really listening. It's always the first way to start trying to help our children. And if we have peace, and from a place of peace we listen, we will have so many more resources available to us internally and through our spiritual life that we will actually have a better sense of how to help our kids.
And are there specific struggles that you think, aside from technology, are kind of the big target for children?
Well, I think in general, there's a cultural moving away from a sense of God. And that means a sense that there's someone out there really taking care of this whole thing. And so all the news media, all the different stories, the current events, everything is being heard and received and felt in a way that is more unstable than ever before. And so it's just a general lack of peace, a general increase in anxiety that I see everywhere. And that is really what's plaguing, I think, all of us in some way.
Well, thank you so much for this advice and for your assessment. And we'll be praying for all the pilgrims going to World Youth Day with your advice.
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you. To find out more about mental health through a Catholic lens, there are many organizations, including the Catholic Psych Institute, Catholic Psychotherapy Association, and you can also visit the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops website for pastoral guidance on mental health at home and in your community.
I think that it's a good way to get kids involved in the community while also growing in the strength of the Lord, which is super important, especially at this age.
The lasting impacts of a program that connects youth with those in need. That story next. And still to come, inspirational Catholics who made their mark on the church at a very young age.
This is just a great way of like serving others, taking a week from being an original teen and just like going to work and serve people that don't have exactly what you have and just stepping out of the box.
Stepping out of their comfort zones to build up communities and live out their Catholic faith. A summer work camp for Catholic teens in the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia, brings together hundreds of teens for a week of hands-on experience to help strangers in need. What's built goes beyond hammers and nails. The large-scale annual event also builds and strengthens the faith of the young people involved. In-depth producer Holly Shannon brings us the story from Virginia's Shenandoah Valley.
The sounds of a busy construction site.
Beautiful.
Mixed with encouragement, laughter, prayer, and devotionals.
We have to trust and have faith that what we've learned and what we know and what we hear in our prayers is true, and take that leap of faith.
It's all part of this summer's teen work camp sponsored by the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia. More than 1,100 teenage and adult volunteers joining forces for a full week of construction projects, all designed to help residents near Winchester, Virginia. The high school volunteers come for many reasons.
I enjoy helping other people, volunteering. I dragged my friends into this, and we're having a good time. I feel like the value of helping people around makes you feel like a better person and grows closer to God.
I think it's great because kids want to get out and do stuff. Like, we just digging holes is super fun. Like, kids just want to do that. So, when they want to do it and, you know, they have the Lord and it helps them grow, in their spiritual life, and we're doing works of mercy, I think it's pretty great.
I love that we're able to help people, and especially people who don't have as much, just give a little bit of our extra time, because if we were not here, we would probably be sitting home on our couch.
Their adult crew leaders are just as enthusiastic. Dan Foose is the father of 11 children. 4 have gone through the program already. 3 were in camp this summer, and the 4 younger ones can hardly wait to attend.
I think it's the greatest event the diocese puts on for teens. They get so much out of it for their faith and for doing work for other people. It's just an amazing experience.
Work Camp launched in 1989 and has grown over the decades into a tradition these volunteers wouldn't miss. 600 teens, with the help of their adult supervisors, completed more than 175 work projects. They ranged from installing windows to building decks, wheelchair ramps, and egress stairs to roof repair. All that work benefited nearly 90 disadvantaged residents. Kevin Boley has been the work camp's director for more than 20 years. He says the first goal is to make homes warmer, safer, and drier. The second is spiritual.
The goal is that they come here thinking that they're doing good work for other people, but by the end of the week, they discover that Christ has worked in them. And our goal is that they go home a different person than they came, that they've grown in their faith lives by participating in this community for the week.
Above and beyond the work itself, the spirit of the camp is not lost on the residents whose homes get much-needed updates and repairs.
They cleaned our roof. They sealed it. They're building us a porch. And I really enjoy them coming out and helping us. They really are decent kids, and it gives them all different trades. They're just out here to help the needy out here, and the people is in need.
Let the group, the church people come in, and if they will offer to do something for you, do it. And talk to them and sit down and learn. You might be able to learn something from them just as much as they might learn something from you.
Back at home base, it takes an army of adult volunteers to support the army of field volunteers who arrive back after a hard day of work. This year, the Frederick County, Virginia Public School District allowed the work camp to take over its middle school for the week. The school gymnasium, normally home for basketball and gym class, converted into a space for daily mass. A hallway set up for 50 priests from the Arlington Diocese to hear confessions on a Tuesday evening following adoration. And classrooms turned into sleeping quarters, boys on one floor, girls on another. Adult chaperones and other home-based helpers provided by each of the 37 participating parishes make sure everything runs smoothly. In the end, a week of good works, a week of spiritual growth, and a week of learning the importance of community.
Mother Teresa taught that you don't have to come to Calcutta. You know, find your own Calcutta. What are the needs in your community? We try to bring the teens to see the need in the community and see what the organizations are in the community that are serving those needs. And all of a sudden, they're empowered. Their eyes are open.
Whenever I told my friends that I'm going to do this, they're like, a week away from your summer, a week without your phone, a week without this, like, all these things. And just, like, those are just the little things. But I'm here to just, like, thank God for all he's done for me and give back because I'm able to.
Near Winchester, Virginia, Holly Shannon, EWTN News in depth.
Aside from the other benefits achieved in this summer work camp, the home improvements can also be measured in hard numbers. Donated materials and labor for more than 175 projects were valued at more than $1.5 million.
We young people need to be accompanied. We can also accompany our fellow young people.
Walking with our younger generations to guide them in the footsteps of discipleship. A leader in youth ministry speaks with us after the break.
We continue our coverage on the youth of our church. They truly are a beacon of hope for the present and future of our faith. In 2019, Pope Francis wrote a document on young people called Christus Vivit. The apostolic exhortation included Pope Francis's insights on the accompaniment, engagement, and vocational mission of youth and young adults. In it, the Holy Father writes, "We should never underestimate the ability of young people to be open to contemplative prayer. We need only find the right ways and means to help them embark on this precious experience. Helping our youth come closer to Christ is vital for our church." But even Pope Francis writes in his exhortation that it's not always easy to create youth ministries. Mark Hart, the Chief Information Officer for Life Teen, joins us now to explain how many parishes have been able to create thriving ministries for youth. Thank you so much for joining us, Mark. The Holy Father's exhortation mentions the importance of mentorship for youth. Can you talk about that role of mentoring and accompaniment?
Absolutely. You know, Pope Francis really picked up where Pope St. John Paul II had left off, and obviously Pope Benedict as well, with the World Youth Days and with a real emphasis on the youth. And Pope St. John Paul II, he used to use the walk to Emmaus from Luke 24 as his signature example of what it means to walk with youth, where Christ draws near to two souls who are really asunder, two souls who are really struggling. And in that moment of struggle, Christ draws near and begins to ask questions to them while he walks side by side with them. And that really is the hardest part. I think many of us in the church probably are looking for the sort of the easy solution, the 7-minute abs, if you will, of how can I just make great young disciples? How can we find more priests and find more religious and find holy young couples? And we want the quickest solution. What's the one workbook, the one resource, the one video? When the reality is, that's not what youth ministry really is. That's just youth resourcing. Youth ministry is to draw near to a young soul, to enter into their life in a relational way, in a safe, compliant, obviously, an intentional relational way, and to walk with them, beside them. And as you know, in the Road to Emmaus, you know, he's walking them to the altar. They don't realize where they're walking, but he's walking them right to the Eucharist, right to the sacraments, right to the church. And that's really what we're called to do, is to enter into the lives of modern young people, translate the gospel into modern language that they'll understand, and to continue to walk them into a deep relationship with the Lord, specifically through the Eucharist.
And would you say that this one-off solution, this desire for the quick fix, is the biggest challenge in youth ministry?
I think it's one of the biggest challenges. I think there are some parishes that just say, you know, teenagers they're messy and they're irreverent and they're not going to pay attention, so we're not going to do anything. And other parishes say, okay, well, we'll throw a little bit of money at it. We'll get a resource, and we'll just say that's enough. That's what you have to do. We'll put them in a classroom and just, you know, talk at them. When the reality is, like any of us, you know, when we have had our conversion moments in life and we've drawn closest to the Lord, it's often, most often, because someone has been Christ to us, has introduced Christ to us. Now, admittedly, in the 21st century, that takes a lot of patience, especially with a screen-obsessed generation, especially with a generation that is more accustomed to looking down than looking up. Hmm. So it takes patience, and it takes souls, it takes mentors who are willing to walk the walk, not just talk the talk, you know, and willing to enter into what can be messy sometimes. You know, we know modern families can be very messy. We know the modern world, obviously, is very messy. We know philosophically, ideologically, a lot of our young people are being taught and are online and even in classrooms by people who did not necessarily share our faith and our values and our ideological viewpoint. So it takes mentors. It takes men and women who are willing to go above and beyond, to volunteer their time as catechists, as core members, as leaders, and enter into the fray at this period in salvation history to help young people to come to know and to see and to hear the face of Christ, the voice of Christ, amidst the noise in the world around them.
Well, that's interesting that you describe that physical posture, the looking at the world rather than looking at the transcendent. The sacraments are especially the Holy Eucharist are especially a great place to start when building a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know that. But it's one of the fundamental approaches of Life Teen, something that a lot of groups don't do. Can you expand on why that's important?
Absolutely. So Life Teen, we are dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Eucharist. We're consecrated to the Virgin Mary, and we're devoted to the Eucharist. So our own staff, our own missionaries on a daily basis, beyond daily Mass or daily, you know, Holy Hour, we really believe that that if we're going to see a lasting transformation in a young soul, they have to be anchored and rooted in those two, the Eucharist and the Blessed Virgin. So rather than saying, yes, Mary's behind us, we have a strong devotion to Mary, believing that that her prayer is really central, and believing that if you're not rooted in the sacraments, if you're not rooted in the Eucharist, well, really, I mean, you can be led astray anywhere. You know, it's that rooting in that real presence, that one true, real presence, you know, body, blood, soul, and divinity, that's going to keep you anchored through all the storms of life. And it was that classic, there's a classic vision of St. John Bosco when he saw that the church was in torment and under attack from all different sides. And in this vision, he saw the Pope was on the wheel of the ship, and the ship is the church. And there was this vision of these two pillars that rose out of the ocean while the ship was being attacked. And on one pillar was the Blessed Virgin, on one pillar was the monstrance with the Holy Eucharist. And that's something we take very seriously. So at every single summer camp, every single event, everything we do, if you ever look at a stage area for Life Thing, you'll always see banners on either side of the stage with the Blessed Virgin and the Eucharist, reminding us of this vision that if we can just keep our eyes on the Lord, that no matter what assaults come from the outside world that we cannot control, that our ship is never going to be thrown asunder, that we're never going to be submerged.
And that's an important...
We try to invest that in every single young soul that we encounter, whether it's in middle school, in high school, any of our college students or missionaries, to say, if you can just stay anchored to these two pillars, you are going to be okay, and you're going to see the Lord.
It's a prophetic vision. Really quickly, youth evangelizing youth. That's critical in the church. It's very much what you all do. Tell us why that's important as a part of your ministry.
If you can't begin, even at a young age, to learn how to articulate your faith, share your faith, invite others into your faith, it's really not going to happen as you get older and older. Like the more investment that you can make, a personal investment, where you start to learn, you know, it's St. Paul's words to Timothy, let no one look down upon you because you're young, but be an example to all the believers in your faith, love, hope, conduct, and purity in 1 Timothy 4. If our young people can understand that even at a young age, even at 14 and 15, they can evangelize their own parents in some cases, their siblings, their classmates, their friends, heck, their enemies. If they can start to understand this in middle school, in high school, into college, and learn how to articulate their faith, learn how to share their testimony, learn where the Lord is moving in their life and discern that on a daily basis, well, if you can learn that at a young age, that's a skill, that's a talent, a discernment that you're not going to learn, they're not going to lose as you get older. So the more that we can help a young person understand where the Lord is moving right now, the more they can share that, they can evangelize their own friends and their own world.
The courage of youth. Well, thank you so much for this and for everything that you do at Life Teen.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. God bless you.
God bless you. Coming up after the break, the modern day teen. Who's on his way to sainthood? And why U.S. bishops are asking for his intercession. While we've focused on the youth of today in this program, we take a moment now to look at young Catholics who have left an indelible mark on our church, the saints. There are many saints who died before the age of 25. We take a look at some of them now in our images of the week. There are many more young saints that we did not have time to include, as well as many venerables and blesseds who are on the path to sainthood. One of them is Blessed Carlo Acutis, a young Catholic born in England in 1991 and raised in Italy. He suffered with leukemia and offered his sufferings for Pope Benedict XVI and for the Church. He had a special love for Holy Communion and built a website cataloging and promoting Eucharistic miracles. Carlo Acutis died in 2006 from leukemia at just 15 years old. He's already being asked for intercession in a big way. Acutis was named a patron of the multi-year National Eucharistic Revival in the United States with a relic of his that was given to the bishops for the revival. His Eucharistic Miracles exhibit is currently being featured in Hollywood. More on that at our sister organization, the National Catholic Register. We hope that Carlo Acutis and all the saints inspire you in your faith. Thanks for watching this special broadcast of EWTN News In Depth. Join us next week, same time, same place, for more stories important to your Catholic life. See you then.